I'm Marco Werman. You're tuned to The World. Last Friday, we brought you a special edition of the show focused on gun culture across the globe, and we wondered if there are lessons for the United States in how other countries deal with firearms and gun ownership. There are plenty. You can find more of our coverage at PRI.org/guns. But the truth is, there is so much we can learn from other countries. We could have produced at least two shows about guns. So here's another perspective, the view from Israel, where gun culture differs dramatically from the U.S. Ben Hartman is a writer and reporter based in Tel Aviv. And before we get to what you see in terms of gun culture in Israel, tell us about your own experience with guns, because you grew up near Austin, Texas. I've seen open carry parades in Austin, but what was your own experience growing up there? Were guns part of your upbringing?
I mean, I grew up in Austin, and my parents were and grew up middle class Jewish community and whatnot. But, you know, even though that's not a conservative rural background in rural Texas, guns are still not something that's all that strange or distant. Everybody I know from there, I think at some point in their life has shot a gun or gone to a shooting range or maybe hunting, or their parents have guns at the house. It's just not something that's distant or that defines your politics.
I gather you were a counselor at a Jewish camp in Texas. Did you shoot guns there?
Yeah, I was thinking that was probably the first place I shot actual, live ammunition. When you're in the oldest boys bunk, so about 12 years old, 13 years old, you would be able to shoot 22. You know, it's just a low caliber, low velocity 22 short round, but it's still, you know, that's a lethal round that will kill somebody. And so by 12 years old, you know, we were able to shoot if you wanted to. And that's a kind of funny thing, because it didn't really strike me at the time as being odd. And here are these kids at this Jewish summer camp, most of them, you know, from suburban areas of Houston or Austin or Dallas, and you know, middle class or upper middle class liberal parents and whatnot. And I don't think anybody thought anything of it, as far as I remember. I think to a certain extent in America, but especially in places like Texas and other similar areas, there's a sort of nonchalance about it, in addition to the sort of fetish that a lot of people have as well around guns.
And then you move to Israel, and visitors who go there often notice that firearms are pretty visible in public. I remember sitting once in a cafe in Jerusalem. A guy walks in for a latte and lays his cell phone and Glock on the table and places order. It's almost banal. Did that stand out to you when you first moved to Israel after being in Texas?
Yeah, it's something you tend to get used to after a while in Israel. For instance, riding the Tel Aviv to Jerusalem bus, and there'll be a machine gun across the aisle pointing at your chest the whole time while the soldier is, you know, napping on the way to Jerusalem. And you just see it. It's very common on the streets, especially in places like big bus depots and train stations, places where you see a lot of soldiers and security personnel. So it's a rather ironic situation where, like you were saying, you know, visitors are often taken aback by the amount of firearms they see. But on the other hand, every single one of those firearms is accounted for and has a reason that the person has it.
Right. I was going to ask you, I mean, how hard is it to get a gun in Israel?
It's quite difficult. And I think that touches on the central difference between the gun culture, the gun world in Israel versus America. In America, it's a right, and here it's a privilege that you have to earn. So every one of those people you see with a gun, they had to be over 21, an Israeli resident for more than 3 years. They had to pass a mental and physical health exam, background checks by the Public Security Ministry, shooting exams, courses, licensed gun range to make sure that you can actually fire the gun. And then you're given the one firearm. But before running through all those hoops, you have to have some sort of established on paper security reason. You have to show, okay, I work in security or law enforcement, or that you live in what they call national priority areas. That is often West Bank settlements or places on the border with Gaza or Lebanon that they consider high danger areas. And then you are only able to have one single firearm with a one-time supply of 50 bullets from a licensed dealer. And then every couple of years, you have to take another licensing exam. But every one of those firearms that you see out there, you know that there's a reason that that person has it, which can be comforting. In other words, if I'm walking down the street in Texas or, I don't know, somewhere in America, and somebody has an assault rifle there, I don't know that they have a reason.
So, Ben, how did that happen? How did it come about that Israelis view guns so differently than we Americans, especially when it comes to firearms being well regulated?
You know, it's something I think about often. Legislation is very important, but it's also cultural. And, you know, you can change the legislation in America theoretically, but the culture is still there and it's so powerful. And in Israel, you don't have that same sort of gun fetish and recreational obsession with guns. And I believe it's partly because the universal draft here, the fact that for Israelis, when they encounter firearms for the first time on a personal level, it's in the military. It's when they're 18 years old and they're drafted. And a firearm to them, the association is with the military and with security and a burden. It's something that they have to do, and it's not something that they want to do recreationally. So that already changed the association that somebody has with the firearm. And then on top of that, you have the security situation in Israel over the years, terrorism, the wars and all that. So firearms are very much associated with the security situation, and law enforcement and security officials and all that see too much of a public security danger in having unregulated guns out there in society. For them, a gun is not some theoretical recreational thing. It's a burden you're forced to carry when you're 18. You're given this. You don't want it. You're responsible for it. You'll go to jail if you lose it. And then the second you're done with it, you don't want to see it again.
The U.S. leads the world in mass shootings. How often do they happen in Israel?
Well, the only one I can think of was one that happened that I covered in May 2013. It was in Be'er Sheva in southern Israel. A disgruntled man went in and he shot and killed four people. He was a private security guard, so he had the gun through his work. That's why he got approval for that gun, but he had been suspended or he had been out of work. There had been some sort of, if I remember correctly, a domestic violence complaint. So he kind of fell through the cracks. He shouldn't have had that firearm. And already the next day, you had talk about tightening and changing some of the regulations. And they passed regulations that sort of eased up things in 2000 when the second intifada happened and you had suicide bombings becoming very common in Israel. You had this huge boom in the private security industry because suddenly every cafe, every restaurant, every mall wanted to put a security guard with a pistol at the front door. So suddenly then you had a whole lot more firearms out there in the civilian sector. That's the thing, is that while they are strict, they're flexible. An incident can happen like a terror wave and they can ease up. An incident can happen like a mass shooting in Be'er Sheva and they tighten. So you have this sort of ebb and flow where there's always strict regulations, but the extent to where they're strict can be somewhat fluid and change considering the events in society. It's very different in the States. In the States, there's this sort of approach that, you know, even after something like in Las Vegas or the Pulse nightclub or Newtown, you just can't touch these laws.
Do you think that this high degree of caution over firearms in Israel, did it originate at all at the formation of the country in 1948 in some way?
Well, there's no constitution in Israel, which is a whole other problem. That's another conversation. But right. There's always been, you know, as opposed to America, a much greater belief in the state having a monopoly on the use of force, the state having a monopoly on security and the means of using force. Whereas in America, you don't have that same approach as much. In fact, there's a sort of hostile approach towards the state. And in Israel, you don't really have that. And it crosses all lines. You can ask, you know, very right-wing Israelis or very left-wing Israelis. It doesn't matter. They're quite likely to say, you know, the situation in America is rather absurd. There was a joke going around in Israel after the Las Vegas shooting. They said, you know, kind of crazy. In America, they won't let you get on a flight with a bottle of water, but they'll let this guy walk up to his hotel room with duffel bags full of rifles. You know, that country is messed up. And there's not much you can say to that.
Reporter and writer Ben Hartman in Tel Aviv. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.